This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's have a Wednesday edition of AMI at the Movies. Amy Amante is here to offer up some thoughts on The Contractor, which I errantly said was on Netflix before the break. Turns out it's on that sneaky Amazon Prime Video. Of course, you can hear lots more from Amy when you download her podcast, Accessing Art with Amy. Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning. Happy Wednesday. I just about said happy Monday.
Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Time is a flat circle. Amy, let's get a little bit of a synopsis here because I don't think this film is particularly famous. What is The Contractor about? Is it about home repairs?
I was just going to say, we are not looking at home repairs here. No painting, no ripping down drywall, no cleaning up of mold.
We're not flipping a house. We're not engaging in some house flipping.
You know, maybe if it was about house flipping, it might have been a tad more interesting, okay. But we'll just leave it at that. So we're going to be following James Harper, who is our main character in this, I suppose you can call him. He's a decorated serviceman. He's been involuntary discharged from the United States Army Special Forces. And this is because, and it's not a spoiler, but it's because he's been using some illegal steroids to treat an otherwise, what he refers to as a debilitating knee injury. And so, you know, he's a bit of a wounded warrior, and he's a serviceman, and he just wants to do his service for his country. So they let him go. And of course, when they let him go, they cut all of his benefits. And he's got a wife and a child to take care of. So now he's facing financial hardship. And he turns to a private military company under the command of a fellow veteran, Rusty Jennings, to get involved in some .. stuff.
Okay. So we're talking about a real kind of action setup here, paramilitary kind of mercenary kind of stuff here. So who is our leading action star, and who do they share the screen with, and how'd they do?
All right. Well, we got Chris Pine in this one, and many folks will know Chris Pine from the many shows that he's been on. So he's James. His best friend, Mike, is played by Ben Foster, and Mike is somebody who James reaches out to because Mike is also a retired or discharged veteran who is a private contractor. And then we've got Kiefer Sutherland, good old Canadian boy. Mm-hmm. As Rusty, actually, here's just a tad tidbit. When I worked in the film industry in my early 20s, I did a movie, worked on a movie that Kiefer Sutherland was in. So I had the opportunity to meet him.
Brush with fame.
I know. It's a very interesting time.
It's like me and Jay Baruchel, but I can't tell that story on air.
Yeah, I know. I got a couple of those stories, too, that are for behind closed doors with a beer in your hand, right? Yeah. So I would say that all of these performers are you know, they're great performers. And Chris Pine actually is, I think, at the top of his game in this particular film. He is rough and buff and very, I don't know, there are some actors that when they do military movements, you don't really buy it because it looks forced, it looks fake. But I totally bought that Chris Pine grew up in the military and had gone through all the training. So he was, I thought his performance and even just his physical performance was really quite good in this particular movie.
Amy, a lot of modern action films like to crank up the violence. What'd you think of the violence in this one? Was it gratuitous? Was it on point? Was it in some cases, like I like to say, not enough?
Yeah. You know, Dave, this is a real, you know, when I wrote these questions, we had not experienced what happened yesterday in Texas, as you pointed out this morning. And so, again, we have a lot of folks that talk about video games and movies with gratuitous violence being the air quotes cause of these kinds of mass shootings, which is not something that I agree with. But I would say in this particular film, I was expecting it to be a lot more violent just based on the title, The Contractor. Mm-hmm. You know, contract killer, right? And this idea of being sort of ex-military in this military relationship. But I actually found the violence part to be well balanced out. Not too much, not too little, enough to keep the story going, but not in a gratuitous way where you thought, well, this is so unnecessary. Why am I watching all of this blood and gore?
Mm. Does that mean there was a lack of action?
No, it doesn't mean that there's a lack of action. I think what it means is that the action was paced out in a very interesting way. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of flaws for me with this movie in particular, but some of the highlights are the way that they kind of laid out the way that the violence was portrayed in this particular piece. So it's poignant. It continues the plot line forward. It builds the relationships between the characters, but it isn't the kind of film where you're just shooting for the sake of shooting.
There was an action film that I watched during the pandemic called Extraction with one of the Hemsworth brothers. And that was a speedy, fast-moving action flick that was visually stunning. And I kept thinking to myself as I was watching it, oof, this must be a real challenge for the audio describers. So how did the audio description hold up in this action flick?
Well, there's a couple of things that I liked. And again, this action flick is well-paced. So there aren't these moments. I didn't find these moments where there is so much happening that you're trying to keep up from an audio description perspective. What I like is, you know, if you're watching a movie with audio description that doesn't require... So I guess I'll rephrase this. You know, oftentimes in audio description, we get the tall man, this, the bespectacled man, that, the, you know, the woman in the red dress, right? It's very generic until the character name is revealed. Mm. And that's a lot for me to hold in my brain. So what they've done with this one is for most of the main characters, they identify them by name. Now you can't do that if you're in a movie where identifying a character by name will spoil it, like Kaiser Soze in The Usual Suspects.
Right.
If you learn right off the top who Kaiser Soze is, it'll totally spoil it for you. So I thought that was really nice in this because we're trying to keep track of many characters. What I didn't like was there was too much movement for me, too much shifting, like every little shift, twists his arms, joints his head, moves his body. And it's like, there was no context for that. So I don't know why he was doing these movements. They were just described for the sake of describing them. And that was overkill. Mm. And then what kind of irked me is when describers don't know proper names for things. So they referred to the gun as having a muffler on it.
As opposed to a silencer.
As opposed to a silencer. And I was like, I don't know, three or four times they're like, the gun with the muffler. And I thought, what's a muffler? That's not a car.
Is he shooting from a car? Is he shooting from a tailpipe?
So that kind of irked me just a little bit, but otherwise very necessary, of course, to be able to follow the plot line, because there are these moments, of course, where you're in silence and action is happening.
Amy, you said there were some flaws with this that you found notable. So what's your overall impression and score of the movie?
Yeah, I think the big flaws for me, Dave, are going to be that I had a hard time following parts of the plot, in particular, what the mission was that the contractor was going on, why it went wrong. And I don't know if it just wasn't explained well, or if I missed it, or if they were speaking a language that I didn't understand. So, I was in it until all of a sudden I was like, why is this going wrong? And what's happening here? So I'm giving this a 6.5 because I would have to watch this 2 or 3 more times, maybe to catch those little moments. And I don't want to watch
it's not worth it. It's not worth a rewatch.
Exactly. It's got some nice, moments for the type of film that it is. But overall, if you got to watch it that many times, you got to really be invested.
Yeah. Let's be clear. If you're going to rewatch something 2 or 3 times, you have to really be engaged by that content. The question can't be, oh, this plot was hard to follow. The question is, what did I miss, right? What did I miss in the plot, or what can I gain from rewatching this? Not simply, oh, I now understand.
Yeah. And I if I'm going to rewatch something, it's because I want to experience it from a different angle, not because I missed something, but thought, ooh, there's a lot to unpack in this. I want to experience this again, but now I'm going to focus on something different.
Yeah, no spoilers here, but the first time I walked out of Denis Villeneuve's Arrival, I was like, that was kind of a garbage twist. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, I wasn't smart enough to understand the movie the first time I watched it. And that works for me. That's the kind of valuable rewatch.
Did you watch his film called Prisoners?
Yes, with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that was for me an interesting film because there were so many things happening in that I thought, okay, if I watch this again, maybe I'll get a different perspective. So I did watch it a couple of times. It's not the most fantastic film that I've ever seen. That being said, there were so many different perspectives that I thought, okay, now I'm going to pay attention to this perspective a little bit more than that I did before. So that's how I want to engage.
I will tolerate that somewhat moderate Denis Villeneuve slander, Amy, but you're on thin ice moving forward. Hey, Amy, have a great day.
You too, Dave.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.